How do you know when you're ready?
Well, there's a complicated answer and a simple answer. And the complicated answer is an MVP is the smallest possible version of a product that can begin the process of learning as soon as possible. So it's a balancing act. We want to condense down the product into the most valuable experiment that we can run. And you know, if you study experiment design in any kind of scientific setting, like, it's complicated. Designing the perfect experiment is an intellectually challenging exercise. But guess what? You don't have to do this intellectually challenging exercise, because I got good news for you. No matter what you think the minimum viable product is, I guarantee you what you need to do is cut it in half and then cut it in half again and ship that. Because every entrepreneur is like, falls in love with the maximum version of the product, because as you said, we have this fear, well, what if we put it out there and customers hate it? Then like, but they would have liked it if we just done a little bit more work. So the first thing is, minimum viable product is not about having a big splashy launch on stage. You can still do that later after you know all the answers and pretend it's the launch. The press will go along with it, I'm sad to say. So it's no problem. You can be rewritten as a genius when you're successful, just like all the other founders were. So you're not foreclosing that option. But while you're in the testing mode, let's say it's true that your product is 80% of the way there and another 20%, so customers hated it 80%, but they like it at the extra. Well, it's okay. Show the 80% to some customers, they hate it, and then add the 20%. And then they're going to love it, right? So that, if that's true at macro scale, it'll be true at micro scale too. So the nice thing about MVP is that you have to pass through the MVP on your way to the final product anyway. It's not like the product is all done, 100% done on day X, and it was 0% done the day before. I meet with startups all the time that have an amazing demo that's like really good. And I'm like, well, how many customers have seen this? They're like, oh, we can't show it to customers. Like, but it's good enough for you to use yourself, but you're not willing to let any customers. How arrogant. You get to be the arbiter of who gets to use this product. You told me this product was going to make customers' lives better, but you would intentionally deny them the opportunity to have their lives improved because your ego is so precious you can't show them something ugly, really? Right? When you get down to it, all this crap is about fear and ego and vanity. It has nothing to do with what customers actually want or what make their lives better. So if you take the visionary's entrepreneur's credo seriously, we actually are trying to make the world a better place, then there's no time to waste on vanity and ego. That stuff is in the way of really finding out how to make the world that place that we envision.
Have you ever pulled any crazy stunts to get your product in front of customers?
Well, yes. But people love the stunts, okay?
So they work?
What's that?
They work?
Well, I mean, they work. Because what most stunts do is help us achieve the wrong goal very efficiently. And the wrong goal that we're always trying to get is lots of users. And that's almost always a mistake, because if the first 100 customers hate your product, what's the learning value of the 101st customer that hates your product? Or the next 900, or the next 10,000 customers who all give you the same feedback? I was with a very famous startup that blew up. Now, I won't name their name, but I was with them maybe 6 months before the explosion. And they had done everything possible to jack up the numbers. She had an incredible number of users who all were giving them extremely consistent feedback. In fact, in prep for the meeting, I had run my own survey on Twitter just asking people who used that product what they thought about it. I used something called the Net Promoter Score, which gives you a number for how much customers like a product from negative 100 to positive 100. And like Apple was, you know, plus 60, and like all normal companies are like plus 30. This product was negative 60. I've never seen a customer response this low. And I was like, guys, you know, I want to tell you what your own customers think of your product. And they were like, yeah, that's true, but if we just get more users, we'll get to critical mass and we'll be fine. It's just like belief, the network effects will kick in and everything will be fine. But like that's just astrology talking. There's no like theory of what is actually supposed to happen at the critical mass point that's not happening now. It's not like critical mass is unmeasurable from 0 to 99%, and then like when the 1 millionth customer signs up, boom, now the network effects kick in. If network effects are present, they can be measured the whole time. Let us see customer retention increasing cohort by cohort, and then I'll know that your network effects are real.